Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes. Enjoy.
Entering the world of Crisis on Infinite Films, brought to you by All Too Real 2 Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. Anyways, my name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me as always is my co-host,
Matthew Haas.
And today we have a special guest for our latest episode on the on our series called Crisis on Infinite Films. Dum dum dum. Anyways, our guest today is a returning guest, Jamal Wallace Knight. You may know him from his YouTube channel, Gaming After Dark, among other things, his illustrious film career and everything else. How are you doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you? How are you all doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, oh, I'm good.
well, I hope so. All right.
So, today we are covering a movie that Jamal brought to us our attention. It is the 2005 Australian-American film called Man-Thing, based on the Marvel comic.
And I have to say, yes, you really wouldn't understand this. Even though it is a man thing, you definitely would not understand this.
Nope.
And I mean, let's just be honest. First off, anything with a hyphen in the title of a movie, you know it's going to be bad. That is like the recipe for disaster. If you have to put a hyphen in a movie,
yes.
I mean, I could deal with, like, a colon, but a hyphen, yeah, that's kiss of death.
Well, we all need colons. They kind of help us sometimes, you know.
Well, that's what I heard, anyway. And we're in the street, you know. I don't want to give too much away in case there's anyone out there that hasn't seen the movie.
We don't care. We'll spoil it.
Okay, so well,
my suggestion is watch the movie before you listen to this. If you haven't watched it yet, pause now. We'll be here.
If I may, can I do my voice as well?
Yes.
This is a spoiler alert that's coming up right now. The All Too Real podcast is not responsible for ruining this movie for you. At any time you feel like you do not want this movie spoiled, please pause this recording at any time so that we may continue.
Okay. That's awesome.
Now. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, so Man-Thing that came out back in 2005, okay, directed by a gentleman named Brent Leonard. He directed a movie like Virtuosity, came out like in 97, 98, Denzel Washington.
And Lawnmower Man.
Yes, and the Lawnmower Man with Pierce Brosnan. That one came out like 92, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty early something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like in early 90s. I'm gonna just round it off, early 90s. Man-Thing basically takes place where this new guy comes in town, new sheriff in town. Now, please forgive me. I'm going to tell you a lot of fallacies in this because I'm from Louisiana originally, and the movie is supposed to be based upon in Louisiana. And okay, I'll say that for another podcast. But so the new sheriff comes into town, and he's supposed to be, you know, just I guess, really disturbances going on in this place called Murder Row, which is supposed to be Murder Row, you know, hand-to-hand play on words. Murder Row County.
Oh! I'm joking.
I know, right? Yeah. Ooh, like, where'd that come from, right? So, first of all, for those of you all who have never been to Louisiana, first of all, there's no counties in the state of Louisiana. They're called parishes due to the Louisiana Code. Google search the rest for details. So he's supposed to come in, supposed to do disturbances.
He's like a city boy.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And they had these god-awful southern drawl accents. I mean, I know some actors have to do that, but they just...
See the movie was shot in Australia.
Right.
And all of the actors in the movie, with the exception of like two, one of which was the director, Brett Leonard, are from Australia. And Brett is from the Midwest.
Yeah.
More specifically, Toledo, Ohio, where we all live. And
not close to Australia.
I just want to get this out of the way. First off, I know Brett. No offense to anything, Brett. I just don't listen to this past this point, Brett. Turn it off if you're listening to this. Or if you want to talk about the movie and be on our podcast, I'd be more than happy to let you be on. But I'm just telling you, we've only got a few good things to say about the movie. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I know how it is as a filmmaker when someone disrespects something you worked on. Like, you know, when somebody walks out of a screening of your movie or something, you know how that can hurt. I'm not saying that for any reason, like the fact that you walked out of A Night of the Living Dead. But anyways, we're just going to say that if you want to be on the show and defend yourself for walking out of A Night of the Living Dead when it was showing, or defend yourself on this film, I know that I'm going to cause a lot of controversy here, but I don't care. And I might lose you as a Facebook friend, but whatever. I did love Lawnmower Man and Virtuosity. This movie? Not so much. So, I just want to know where the $30 million went, Brett.
So now that we've finished throwing some shade.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean. Or maybe I do.
Well, so the movie wasn't that good, apparently, as... as Michael Cullen had eloquently described.
I just killed my film career, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Nobody listens to this show.
Hey, you're not John Landis, okay? Come on, you're okay. After Twilight Zone movie, come on, man, you're fine. I think Matt's sort of like red over the face over here. But so Rotten Tomatoes even gave you like a 17% rating, but yeah. So okay, for those who don't know about Man-Thing is actually, for those who don't know, is actually a Marvel comic. It was actually based upon the graphic novel series. For those of you who do know about Man-Thing, the graphic novel series, you actually do know the story of how he became Man-Thing. You actually saw him transition, you know, transform, or my favorite word, transmogrify into a Man-Thing. And in the graphic novel series, he wasn't, like, Man-Thing wasn't really a bad guy or anything. He looked intimidating, he looked scary, but he wasn't really meant to, like, be this murdering, killing machine. And that's kind of what they did in this movie. In the movie version of Man-Thing, they basically... had him like a killing machine.
Yeah, because this was more of a horror movie than anything else.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a lot of ways, Man-Thing is basically Marvel's version of Swamp Thing. You know, basically. I mean, if you think about it. So, yeah.
It's like, as you said, this is like the generic version of Swamp Thing, I guess. Yeah. You know?
I don't know which came first. I wonder. Should look that up.
I don't know. Yeah, we should have done that.
Okay. Yeah.
and the Man-Thing, another like just thing I want to point out, Man-Thing is famous for introducing the character of Howard the Duck, which is another movie we've covered in this series and is already out. So if you haven't listened to that episode, please do, because that movie is the greatest movie ever. Mm. And it's thoroughly enjoyed if you're on Toot.
Yeah. You have to take Toot, which is a drug that's mentioned in the movie that's never explained in the movie of what it actually is.
Yeah,
it's the only time it's ever mentioned in any context ever, Toot.
Yes.
The guy says, I've been doing too much
Toot.
Doing too much Toot.
I personally think that was like poppers, maybe.
Poppers.
Maybe that was it. Maybe like that
jalapeno
was...
poppers?
Right.
Like the, you know, like from Arby's, you know, with the sauce and stuff. Jalapeno poppers. You know, they're good. It tastes good.
Yeah, if you take too many of those, it'll mess up your stomach.
You take too many of them, it won't mess up your stomach.
Yeah,
it will.
And then maybe make you hallucinate.
Kind of like a Homer who was in the Simpsons at one time.
Yeah.
Those jalapeno peppers.
Yeah. But, no, I think I know your poppers are like a thing, yeah.
Poppers, anyway. I used to have a bunny rabbit named Poppers. No, I didn't. I'm just making that up.
What the heck?
I'm lying.
You just wanted to
but
say
anyway,
that
yes.
in this. That's all that was.
Howard the Duck is the first MCU movie. I guess not MCU, but it was first
Marvel comic based movie.
And it's better than Endgame. So if you watch Endgame and then this back to back, and you come back not thinking that it's better than Endgame, then you don't really understand.
I think you need to watch Man-Thing and Howard the Duck, and that's better than all of the MCU put together.
Yeah. Watch them at the same time if you can.
Yeah, like two TVs,
have them right next to each other,
start them at the exact same time.
Play them simultaneously.
And then turn the volume off on both of them.
Yeah.
And listen to Dark Side of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll do anything, but I just want to find out if it will. So can you just do that? I don't feel like doing it. So if you can do that, folks, and just let us know, you know.
Definitely send it to Michael and Matt.
Yeah, you can email me at mike@cullenpark.com and just say, hey, you know, make the subject line Dark Side of the Howard Man Thing.
Howard Man
Thing. Okay, anyways, back to the plot.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the problem. See, there really wasn't much of a plot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, honestly, okay, when you're watching a movie, the first beginning part of the scene, okay, the beginning part of the scene, you see this young couple making out, and there's a little bit of a sex scene, a little bit. Not like, you know, Pornhub kind of stuff, but, like, the girl takes off her top, all right, they're kind of getting on, and then, boom, the guy gets sucked into some, he gets picked up, like, lifted up in the air, and gets sucked into, into the deeper part of the bayou, which is, really wasn't bayou, but
right.
Let's call it that, and he just gets sucked into it, and then you don't know much about, honestly, you honestly don't see really much of the monster until, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie. So, literally, I was sitting there, we were sitting there for like an hour and a half, and we didn't even see its face until like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, we didn't see even his body outline until like the first hour of the movie. And that was just a little bit of an outline, too. Like, you just saw him kind of walking around and from far away.
Right. And it moves so fast.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not watching, when you blink, you're going to miss it.
Yeah, I barely caught it. It wasn't. I don't think it was meant to be caught, but it's just, yeah.
Ugh. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like movies where I have a little bit of a mystery to it because I don't want to start the movie in the first 6 minutes. Boom, we know who the killer is. Mm. I mean, I like something to kind of build up to it, but it was just so long and kept dragging on, and it was like there were parts of the movie where you think that this is it, and no, it's not it, and it's like. You know what? You were hoping for the man thing to come kill you after a while.
Right. And also, too, you mentioned this, too, when we were watching it, that even after a big reveal did happen, then it felt like the movie just reset itself all over again, like just starting over, like, the same plot. And was like, oh, okay, so we just having two movies in one now? Like, what's...
Right. I mean, I wouldn't say it was thrown together, necessarily. I think it was just more like dislodged a lot of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like, and like you said, the acting was just so god awful. Anyways, I mean, no offense. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that these Australian people were doing an accent other than their own, and I didn't realize that they were all Australian at first.
Right.
I mean, I just thought they were Americans doing bad Southern draws.
Well, I mean, and I don't knock them for it either, you know. I really don't. You know, I think it was just that, And it's just, this isn't really the actor's fault. I would say it's more of maybe a producer or director, because he didn't really educate some of the actors enough about the area or climate they were doing it in. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that would have been probably a little bit more helpful, maybe, had they done that. But it was just very long and dragging. I mean, for a Marvel movie, this is definitely one they don't talk about.
So in the comics, the guy that turns into Man-Thing, Dr. Ted Salas, or Theodore Salas.
Yep.
In this, they changed him from that to turned him into a shaman and Seminole chieftain named Ted Salas.
Wow, like a witch doctor?
Yeah. I mean, so he's still a doctor, but mm-hmm. just not
licensed.
Not a medical doctor per se.
Right. And then that was another conflicting thing. Like, one part they said he was a guardian. Then they said that, you know, he was protecting.
Is he a guardian of the galaxy?
I would say more of a guardian of the bayou.
They said the guy said something about what he said? Guardian spirit of the nexus of all realities. That's like some interesting.
That sounds like something you say on LSD.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it does.
They used to be my title when I was working for that one company that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Because they're on Nexus, right?
Right.
Shh.
Right. And there was kind of a plot, but it was just very, like, basically it was like an oil refinery bought some of the land.
Right.
And then they sold it to a guy who was, quote, part Indian. That's not my words. That's in the script.
Yeah, that's actual quote, yes.
Yeah, and
or Indian, as I think they said it.
Whoa.
They did say that.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And so then part of it is, like, you know, the sellout guy who took the money and ran, blah, 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 type of thing. Wow. And then there's the other guy who's, like, he's kind of like a spiritual dude, and he actually thinks that the creature is actually a good guy, which we learned that he's not. And he's not. He's just basically what I guess we would call a chaotic, neutral / evil. Just like angry at the destruction of the earth and is just out to punish anyone because of it. Like, you know,
right.
Which, you know, again, that's not really Man-Thing as a character, though. He's not a villainous killer, you know, especially too the way that he killed people. This movie was really brutal. I mean, it's a horror movie type stuff. I mean,
yeah,
filling that guy with oil to the point where he's practically full of oil and shit like
right.
that. Like,
I mean, and then it's like, I mean, it was like, it was just horrible, man. It was like gruesome. Like Man-Thing wasn't, like, in the graphic novel series, he wasn't gruesome like when he defeated his enemies, you know, and stuff. And he did protect people. Like, this one didn't protect anybody. Like,
yeah.
He had an attitude problem. Like, he was bipolar.
Well,
right?
He's more protecting the land than anything, which I guess makes sense, but still. I just think he hates humans.
Yeah, but he's killing all the wrong people, though, too.
Yeah, he was killing people that was on his that were on his side, so yeah, it was just kind of.
Right. Like, you know, like the first couple, like, in the very first scene, like, they didn't do anything, really. They were young teenagers.
They had sex in a horror film.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, okay, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's
they should have known.
I'm just.
You should always be aware before you have sex if you are or are not in a horror film.
I want to say something about that part.
Yeah.
I really do.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, since there are no black people, and I'm saying that because I'm a black man.
There was like one black person in this whole movie, like the waitress at the.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
And she didn't die.
No,
okay. She had one line.
Yeah.
In the movie. Yeah,
and she didn't die.
Or something like, "What can I get you, honey?" Or something like that.
The first coffee's free for the new sheriff.
Oh yeah, first coffee's free for the new sheriff.
Yeah, that's it.
I was waiting for. And don't forget, they just had, and the sort of problem with having some, not all, but some international actors that assume American culture, sometimes it's not a good start. Like, for example, like, out of nowhere, in the middle of the movie, watching, there was a security guard that, in the background at his office, he has, like, a Confederate flag. Like, now, I'm not offended. I'm really not. Yeah. But it's like, where the fuck did that come from?
I think that might actually be on purpose, though, because those were the bad guys.
Right.
So I think they were trying to... imply that maybe they're racist, you know, Proud Boy type people or something.
Proud
Boy.
Proud Boys.
So
alt-right, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So the man thing had to kill the boy thing is like, the good old boy.
But he was killing all of them, though. Plus, too, they did drop the hard boy, though. Boy.
Just good old boy.
Boy.
Never mean no harm.
We thought and never saw in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Okay. But you know, it was just like, it was just so like displaced, like with it all.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys saw this, but the scene where the guy had the Confederate flag back there, uh-huh. when they killed him, his body was stretched out. They still had the Confederate flag in the background.
Yeah.
It was just like tilted to the side. It's like a Dutch angle for the Confederate flag.
Wow. Yeah, because that was Great Value, John Cena.
Yes, it was.
So yeah, there's this guy in this movie that just looked like a chubbier version of John Cena.
Right, we have a lot of great values in this movie.
Yeah,
I wrote it down. We got Great Value Rip Torn. I wrote down.
Yeah,
Great Value Sean William Scott.
Yep.
Yes.
Great Value Yul Brynner.
Yeah.
Which is Renee, the character who is the quote half Indian.
Yeah.
Who the sellout? Which we turned out wasn't really a sellout after all. I'm guessing, or I don't.
I was confused.
I'm not sure what his.
Yeah. I think he's more like a tragic hero.
Tragic hero.
It's
like a Severus Snape type of thing.
But we did actually have a successful actor in this movie.
Yes.
One.
He got killed in it. But.
Yeah. Alex O'Loughlin, who now stars on Hawaii Five-0. So there you go.
Something good to have a dick come out of the movie.
I'm sure he's proud of this movie.
And he had like the most brutal, well, maybe not the most, because the guy with the oil
was
the worst.
Quick.
Yeah. His was quick, but his body was like cut in like 17 pieces all
at
once. But yeah, it was
kinda
a quick
just
one.
Disappeared almost. Yeah.
But also there's a guy in here, there's some good lines in here too, like the guy who's like, the guy said, boy, he's like, we're gonna finish it in the car talking to his son or whatever. I don't remember. He's like, we're gonna finish it. And
they did that Dr. Evil like laugh.
Yeah, that's right. They had this villainous laugh, and they had this really dark violin music.
It was like way too long of a laugh.
It was too. They were like,
I think they were just doing it just to fill the time.
Yeah.
And shooting right there, like, you know.
And then there's a guy in there who says, "Do you smell that? That's the perfume of my future."
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Me either. I don't think
like,
anyone did.
What was the line? He was like, "You're supposed to be investigating the murders, not the."
Oh,
educational system.
Yeah, ain't you supposed to be investigating the murderer instead of our educational system?
Yeah, and that was when the new sheriff was making out with this school teacher.
Well,
I actually enjoyed that line. That was the very few actually kind of clever lines in the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yes. And by the way, the movie was written by
me.
No, it was not written by you, Matt.
Do you really want to take credit for that?
No.
Do you seriously want to take credit for that?
It was written by a guy named Hans Rodinoff. Rodinoff? Rodinoff.
Guys. Sounds pretty German. Yeah, so,
Yep.
Rider of the Kaiser.
Well, I would say this. I'm going to tell you this. Luckily and thankfully, for those of you who still want to see the movie, you don't have to worry about going to the theater and being shamed by any of your friends. Okay? You can easily either digitally download this at home and just don't tell your friends about it, because they'll probably publicly shame you too. But regardless, you know, what was that like?
Or you could buy it. And then just post it on Facebook and tell all your friends.
Yeah.
And be proud of yourself and your choices in life.
That is another avenue you could always do.
Yes.
You know?
Do you guys want to take a break really quick?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
For a word from our illustrious sponsors. You know? Do you have anything you want to advertise, Jamal, while you're here? Before we go to our break?
Okay, sure. I'd like to also advertise for those of you who would like to, if you're into video gaming or just like to watch like random people like myself stay and do silly things, then you come to Gaming After Dark. You can check me out at mixer.com/gamingafterdark.
And we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Michael E. Cullen II from the podcast that you're listening to right now, along with
manager Matthew Haas.
You got promoted?
Yes.
Damn it. Okay, anyways, folks, do you like the show Superstore? I don't know. I asked the folks and nobody's answering
me. Because they're not here.
Oh,
but we love
damn it.
It.
Yeah, we love it, though. Okay, folks, if you like it as much as we do, you're really going to like the Super Story podcast, which is a podcast where Matthew and I go episode by episode and give our little opinions and thoughts on it. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. Just depends on how we're feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you like this podcast and like our little crazy banter,
then you should definitely check this out, or I might get sad. And when I get sad, it gets pretty sad. Yeah, so
I can't deal with him when he's sad.
Yeah, no one can really. So
yeah. So check out Super Story Podcast right here where you get this podcast, Super Story Podcast.
You won't find a better quantum physicist than Dr. Graw Horatio.
How do you do? I am Dr. Graw Horatio, a scientist.
However, like many of us, he is useless without a good cup of coffee.
Thanks to coffee, I can accomplish more in a week than a regular scientist can in a month, with just as many psychotic breakdowns. It's quite economical in the long run.
You can hear Dr. Horatio and his exciting adventures in the upcoming radio comedy, Magus Elgar. Visit Magus Elgar. Elgar.com to download your copy today.
And we are back. Welcome back to All Too Real 2.
All right.
It's the podcast where we only speak with authentic Louisiana accents.
You mean the fake ass Louisiana?
Exactly.
Okay, anyways.
This is All Too Accents.
It's a new podcast
where we just talk in a different accent each week.
I'm just into the Matthew McConaughey one, all right?
All right. Be cool if you did.
Oh, wait, anyways.
Wow.
Okay, so we're going to jump into a little bit of trivia about the great film that is 2005's Brett Leonard directed Man-Thing.
Mm-hmm. You go first, Michael.
Okay. Interesting fact here about the movie. Very interesting. Do you want to guess how interesting it is, Matt?
Like a 9 out of 10, maybe?
Pretty close, yeah.
Okay.
Like a 10 out of a 10?
Pretty close, yep. Maybe, oh, wow. maybe an 11 out of 10. Okay, anyways, it's a... There was a test screening for the film that was held in which, guess what happened? A lot of the audience walked out before the movie even ended.
I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you, shocked.
I mean, I don't know who would ever do that. That's just rude. I mean, you don't walk out of a movie before it ends.
Wow. Yeah, why would you do that?
Why would anybody ever do that?
Well, maybe they all had to go to the bathroom. Or maybe they had their kids and the kids were crying.
The babysitters all were calling and, like,
you know, the kids were crying. And they got scared. The kids saw the man thing. And then they got scared. About an hour and a half later into the movie, they got scared and they walked out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never, and I'll say this true, in a movie theater, walked out of a movie in my life.
I think I've done one. No.
I will say the only time I ever did, that was because the projector was broken and I had to be somewhere. And they were like, oh, it's going to take us about a half hour to fix this projector, and we had to be somewhere. So.
Okay.
And that was super bad. I ended up seeing the movie later, though. But I'm just saying, if I would have stayed and continued watching the movie, I would not have walked out. I've actually sat through some really bad movies and never walked out. I've been to some, like, you know, pretty bad movies. Never walked out.
I'm sensing shade right here. Just kind of going on.
No, it's
right
pretty here. Bright in this room. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh! I mean, I can turn the lights off if it's too dark. I do light in here if you want. You want it to be darker. I mean,
I was trying to say, I'm joking.
Anyways, do you want to give us a little trivia fact here, Jamal?
Yes, I would like to do that. Okay. So, apparently the film had a budget, get this, for $30 million. Okay.
Where did it go?
Followed the money. And apparently, out of $30 million, out of it was all said and done. Now, this is worldwide sales, so we're talking DVDs, digital download, all that stuff. We're talking a gross of $1,123,136. Yeah. That is exactly how much it grossed.
So it made a lot of money then, right? Mm.
Well, for people like us, yeah. I mean, we had
technically, it didn't make back its budget, so I don't think it really made any money.
Well, but, you know, theoretically, you know, I'm going to use my theoretics.
Yeah.
It's like Dianetics, but just generic. So my theoretics is.
It's the great value Dianetics. It's called theoretics.
Yes, yes. By J. Wallace Knight. And, you know, $1,123,000, that's a lot of money. I mean, I could do quite a bit. I mean, I would knock out my student loans, honestly, and still have enough money to buy myself a Coke. All right, so I'm just saying, you know.
Or a Sam's Club Cola. Sam's Choice Cola, I'm sorry. Yeah. If we're going with the great value theme, you know, I'm just saying, you know, all our Walmart products here.
Well,
Walmart is the greatest place on earth.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of great values, I just thought about something, too. I guess you could think of that Confederate flag as like the great value American flag.
Yeah, because like it was like very small. Like, okay. Being a person from the South, being someone that has that
you're a
was
person?
Born, well, I hope so.
Oh, okay.
I'm a man.
Yeah. Thing.
But,
a man.
You know, being someone from the South, that you know, most people when they have the Confederate flag, it's kind of a little bit larger than that. That looked like something they probably got off eBay.
He's only partially racist.
Yeah, that might be it. You know, that might be it. You know?
He like accepts Jewish people. He just doesn't like anybody else.
What? Yes. We'll keep the Jews, but the blacks gotta go.
Wow. We need new more members. We're losing, you know,
And those of you who hear my voice, please not let that fool you. Yes, I am African American. I know I get that a lot in my voice. I've had it all my life. So yes, just don't let that fool you. there's no white guy named Jamal. I'm just saying, there isn't. But
I think I just want to have a kid now, just to name him Jamal.
Actually, no, I know
that would be awesome.
I do know a white guy named Jamal. Actually, one person. So, the one person rule, that means that I get to argue against your general point, which you're probably 99.9% accurate. But I found the one guy just to be an asshole. I don't know.
You like those folks on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I found this one. Yeah.
I listened to a podcast, a Freakonomics podcast, last night. Freakonomics. It's a good podcast. Anyways, okay. they had an episode with this woman, and her name was Dr. Marijuana Pepsi. I can't remember her last name, but her name was Marijuana Pepsi is her first and middle name. Her mom named her that.
Was she and having marijuana and Pepsi?
No, not that. She just said her it was and this woman just did her doctorate study on people with stereotypical black names and how they were treated.
Huh.
And it was a really interesting study and everything. And she's like, you know, overcame like a lot of stuff because in school she was treated like shit because of her name.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just weird. But I think her mom gave her that name just to see it. And she had two sisters, and her sisters' names were Kim and Robin.
And she gets the
Marijuana Pepsi.
Well, I mean.
And the guy interviewing asked her, he's like, do you just like, I don't want to get too personal, but do you drink Pepsi or partake of marijuana? She's like, I've never smoked marijuana and I don't drink soda. It's just like the weirdest thing. But anyways, so you know,
I suddenly started thinking about Gaylord Faulkner for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why. That just came across my mind. But okay, well, that was one fact I had. Is okay.
Now another trivia here. Although filming was originally intended to be done in New Orleans, budget realities forced production to be relocated to Australia. They were the first production to use the new Cornell Studios, and enlisted regional actors for virtually every role.
Yeah, so this is what I understand. So you had $30 million, but you couldn't shoot in New Orleans.
In 2005.
Yeah, in 2005.
When was Katrina?
That was
2005. Well, it was 2005. Now, the thing is, I don't know if that was...
I wonder if that was a factor at all.
That may have been. That may have been a factor, because I know Katrina hit in August. It was in August.
But my thing is why couldn't you film somewhere in the... I'm not saying that they have to.
They could
have
went to Florida, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere. You could have did something like in the Everglades, the very least you could have done. Mm-hmm. Let's go there. I mean, you know, hell, even pick Texas.
Yeah.
I
or even shoot it in California and just make your set there. I don't know. I mean, then you could at least get some actors from Louisiana with decent accents.
Right. You know, it's like... And I'll admit, in 2005, at that time, to be perfectly fair, you know, the Hollywood industry in Louisiana was not booming as much then.
Yeah, and also the whole comic book thing wasn't. I mean, we had like the X-Men movies and Blade and stuff like that, but we didn't really have I think we had like a Spider-Man movies.
Yeah,
but this was prior to Iron Man and stuff like that. So
right, I mean, now we get them like every year compared to when back then we were getting like once or twice every 3 years, you know. You know, so I mean, I understand at the time the technology and as well as the location and some of the things that we have now in 2019 were not all entirely there. That's true, but it's like there's like several different locations they could have like picked. Like, was there not enough southern states for you to go to? Like, you know,
maybe they couldn't afford it somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, after all, $30 million. I mean, hell, just the other day, I had $30 million. I couldn't pay my bills, you know?
So, I know.
You know? It's like...
I mean, I went to McDonald's the other day with $30 million, and, you know, I was like, hey, can I have a, you know, sausage McMuffin with cheese? And they're like, no, we need more money.
Cock knockers.
But, I know. I just wanted a sausage. I was like, hey, I'm just going to go home and make one.
Exactly, man. You know, that's what Warren Buffett does. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I'm not making that up. He really does.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah. So that just
he buys hamburgers, cheeseburgers from McDonald's, and drinks cherry Coke.
Yeah,
and he also takes the coupons and pays for McDonald's with the coupons. So even though he's a billionaire, he still saves money from like his $2 purchases at McDonald's.
Why not?
Yeah,
I would too.
I mean, I wouldn't, but
no.
It seems like a lot of work, but.
Well, oh, hold on a second. Actually, you know what? I just found out something here. Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
So, actually, they could have filmed in New Orleans.
Okay.
Because, actually, the filming started in August of 2003.
Hmm.
So, they actually did it from August of 03, late August, until late October of 03. Yeah.
And that was before Katrina.
That was 2 years.
Right? Yes, that was 2 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Katrina happened in August of 05.
Okay.
And they were shooting in August of 03. So, yes, they could have definitely had filmed then. So,
nice.
Yeah. So, that again.
So, that had nothing to do with it.
Yep. So, we could definitely debunk that.
I just don't know why it would have cost more than $30 million to film this movie in New Orleans.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, the NCIS is not even budgeted that much, and they film all the time. So it's like...
And it looks better than this. Anyways,
much better.
So, I don't know. This movie... really upset me, guys.
I'm not upset by it. I just can't. I guess I could say that one, the fallacies in it was just like just so inaccurate. I mean, I understand if you're not from a certain location or if you don't know a particular culture, you're not going to be 100% accurate. I mean, okay, that's a given. But there are thousands of resources. I mean, even in 2005 or in this case, 2003, they had resources. Even we had the internet then. Okay, come on.
I'd really want to cover the movie Kiss Toledo Goodbye, starring, what's his name? Michael Rapaport. and Christopher Walken. Takes place in Toledo. It was written by somebody from Toledo.
I never heard of it.
Yeah. Hmm. Totally not Toledo. Hmm. Totally. Everything wrong. Nothing. Nothing looks like Toledo.
Was it even...
Even the skyline that they show in the movie is not Toledo.
Was it filmed here?
No.
Oh.
It totally wasn't filmed here. Hmm. They didn't attempt to get anything right. The only thing that they got right is I think somebody's reading the Toledo Blade at some point.
Whoa.
It's just so wrong. It's even more inaccurate to Toledo than Melissa and Joey was. The TV series that took place in Toledo, starring Melissa Joan Hart and Joey Lawrence.
That was it? That was supposed to be here?
Yeah, it was supposed to take place in Toledo. She was a city council person from Toledo.
I liked it when she was Clarissa, personally.
Yeah, but she explained it all.
She did, but she didn't explain it all. That's why I wasn't accurate, because she didn't explain it.
They might be bringing that back, I hear. So, yeah.
Whoa.
She's a little crazy, though.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
No, not Melissa and Joey. They might be bringing back Clarissa in a reboot. Anyways, do you guys want to take another break and then come back with some reviews of the movie from some people on the Internet Movie Database I can read?
From some people, yeah.
Some people, sure.
That sounds interesting.
Not all the people.
No, because we'd be here like for days if every review ever written...
Yes.
Was red.
But what if it was blue?
No.
I have no idea what that meant.
I don't know either. I'm trying to figure that out.
I'm just going
to
let them talk. And
you made me space out with that. I was like, what is that you're talking about?
You said red, and I just said blue.
I'm spaced out right now. Like, I'm high for some reason. I'm not sure why. It's really, really weird.
How many fingers am I holding up? I want the listeners at home to guess.
30,000.
You were close.
Okay,
and we'll be right back.
Hey, folks, this is Michael E. Cullen II from the podcast that you're listening to right now, along with
Matthew Haas.
We just wanted to tell you about our great, great podcast called It's called All Too Real. And on that show, what do we do, Matt?
We watch biopics, and then we talk about whether or not the movie matched up with the real story or not.
So
it was a lot more exciting than that, though.
Yeah, so we... We analyze the real story and the real story.
Get it?
Get it?
Real. You know?
Yeah, they're spelled differently, folks. Yeah. You can guess which one I said which way. Anyways, sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. But we talk about great movies like Shattered Glass and The Social Network and A Futile and Stupid Gesture, among others. Those are some of the ones that we've covered so far, and we're going to cover a lot more. So please subscribe on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your great, fun podcasts. And be sure to share it with your friends.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
And make sure you're not afraid to get all too real. Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. We be back. How y'all doing?
I'm sorry.
How you doing there, Matt? You okay? You're not dying over there?
I told you, I was like spaced out like I'm high and I'm coughing now, so. You know.
Don't be coughing.
I'm not really high, guys.
Don't do drugs.
You okay over there?
I don't do drugs.
My little friend.
I'm tolerable.
Well, everybody good? Ready for me to read some reviews here?
Yeah.
I'll read one right now. It's a 10 out of 10 on the Internet Movie Database. Which is it? Is it data or data?
I don't know. I do data. I like data.
Data. I do too. Did you know that basically the pronunciation of that word changed because of Star Trek The Next Generation?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was actually Data.
Huh.
And then they called the character Data.
That's...
I'm going to stop using this accent here in a
really
second.
Really interesting.
Okay, so here is a review from somebody named Buttish.
Buttish?
B-U-T-T-I-S-H.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, we'll roll with it.
Or is it Buttish? I don't know. I mean...
Buttish?
Buttish? Anyways, this was from June 19th of 2005. It's a 10 out of 10.
Mm.
The headline for it is, "Why can't people just enjoy an entertaining movie?" Question mark. I am truly confused as to why so many people hated this movie. I found it to be one of the funnest, not a word, and most unpretentious movies I've seen in a long time. It certainly beats any movie I've seen thus far this summer, especially Batman Begins.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
What is wrong with you?
Hold on. He thinks Man Thing from 2005
is better than,
Batman Begins.
Yep.
Wow.
And Revenge of the George Luke Sith. I think he means Revenge of the Sith, but he just, yeah.
Okay. I think that was his way of throwing shade at Revenge of
the
Sith.
I'm pretty sure Revenge of the Sith is a lot better than Man Thing.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Anyways, I suppose it's just indicative of our over-Bruckheimered movie-going public who think, quote-unquote, good films have to be dumbed down. And then he said EI instead of IE, which you should have said. Anyways.
By saying dumbed down.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. I just find that hilarious. He said EI, Revenge of the Sith, Batman Begins, Spider-Man.
Shouldn't I say IE instead of
EI? Yeah, exactly.
I before E.
It says, where the character's quality is sacrificed just so they can explain all emotions and actions they are doing. And actual tension, excitement, and pacing. It was. I'm sorry, I had to yell because that was all capitals. So I think that I was supposed to yell. I didn't mean to break your eardrums.
Thankfully, I have a little harder hearing in one of my ears. So,
you know. How's it going?
Stop it.
And pacing are replaced by outrageously fake, really fast, very vague, and overdone special effects that have no subtlety whatsoever. Why can't people just enjoy movies like Man-Thing, Sky Captain, or Constantine?
That's because those movies suck.
Constantine was okay. Anyways, not that anyone should consider them along the lines of classic films. Again, EI instead of IE.
What is wrong with this person?
Indiana Jones, the original Batman, etc. But take them as simply entertaining films that are just to be enjoyed. Anyone else think so?
I love how you do this. I'll wait for you to snap your fingers at the end, like.
Anyways, so that was a good review. They liked the movie. That was a 10 out of 10.
Okay, I just wanted to say one part. Okay, look, I understand, and there is a place in my heart for some of those movies.
Yeah.
That like. Or just for entertainment, you know. It's not to like overthink. It's not to do that.
I mean, yeah.
There is this place in my heart, but this is okay. This is from Marvel.
It's a $30 million movie produced by Avi Arad, Kevin Feige, the architect of the MCU,
right,
and Stan Lee,
right. This is not just like some movie like that. It's like. Okay, look, there's, like, okay, my favorite movie I love to watch, I don't get tired of watching, is Shaun of the Dead. I love that movie.
That's a good movie, though.
You know, that's just so many movies. There's just something out there that, yes, you just watch this for pure entertainment. But this is Marvel, dude, we're talking about. This is, like, you know, based on a graphic novel series, you know? Everybody has read a Marvel comic once in their life, okay?
Just once.
Or at the very least, you know, the very
just
least.
Just once. That's all you're allowed. Just once.
Why is he talking like
that? He does that sometimes. I don't know what's going on.
Like, I feel like...
I don't know why he does it either.
I'm addressing myself in third person.
Mike is a very strange person. But he has a microphone.
I'm just going to let him
go. I'm sorry.
I'm going to let him go.
Okay.
That's all.
You want me to read another one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Here's another 10 out of 10.
Another 10 out of 10. Wow.
Yeah.
Like...
From Tono Fun Number 1. Tono Fun Number 1.
Okay.
Tono Fun Number 1.
Wow.
Tono Fun Number 1. That's fun to say. Anyways,
It's like that Bruin Chumbawamba.
Yeah, that's right. I get knocked down.
But I get up again. Africa beat me down. Okay. Anyways, this is a 10 out of 10. This was amazing. amazing.
What?
You see, this was a ballsy move to make because not many people have heard of this classic Marvel character. I'm just saying it how they wrote it.
All right, that's okay. Fine. that's fine. No, you're okay.
Now, I love movies. I work at Blackbuster, it says.
What?
So it's like a black market Blockbuster? Is that what that's like?
Or is it like a Blockbuster that just carries movies starring African-American people? I'm just confused what the hell it is, Blackbuster.
I think he meant Blockbuster.
Yeah, I think he just spelled it wrong.
Spell check. You know, spell
yeah.
check.
Yeah, it says B-L-A-C-K Buster. He also said that not too many people have heard of this classic Marvel character. Okay, anyways.
Nor did I hear Blockbuster from
you. Yeah. I used to work at Blockbuster, but I don't know. I'm confused. He says, I'm kind of a nerd. Now, I have seen some, S-U-M, by the way, that's how he spelled some, big-time movies produce crappy effects and cinematography, but this is a film that has surpassed The Matrix as great / expensive. For some odd reason, a random number zero cinematography. It's like one word, zero cinematography. I think he accidentally typed the zero there, so I'm just gonna.
I think he was drunk or high when he wrote.
Yeah.
Or he was just so into it. He was like in a zone.
So, yeah.
It's better than Matrix.
Yeah, I always hope for the best when a studio tries to make an inhuman character lifelike. This movie made the most outstanding, complicated character look like an actual thing. It is the most amazing graphics I have ever seen, but it looks like there was no CG in it at all.
No, I'm pretty sure it was.
Amazing. 10 out of 10.
Out of 10. O-U-T-T-A, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to figure that.
Out of 10.
That's probably her brother. I'm just letting you know. That's probably her brother doing it. Probably. I'm not saying it is. Just saying probably.
Maybe he does work at Blackbuster then. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be racist. I'm just saying. Maybe that's what he means.
No. You're not racist. You have a color TV. So, no, you're not.
You have a color TV. What?
I have a black friend. His name is Jamal.
That would be me.
I got my quota.
My quota. No. I met.
What's that?
I saw
Facebook that time. I put like Errol. Yeah. I really.
No, I. I have several black friends. I swear.
Wow.
I'm not racist.
All right. Stop it before Jesse Jackson comes down here.
Hey.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Cool. Oh, I thought he died.
I would love for him to come by. I want to interview him for my podcast.
Okay. Well, go on down.
Yeah. I'm just asking him to read some Dr. Seuss like they did on SNL that one time.
Wow.
So that was kind of interesting as far as reviews.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look, I understand everybody, you know, has a guilty pleasure and everybody has like certain... You know, that it appeals to some. You know, some of these movies have an acquired taste. Understandable. But
Yeah, I
just don't know about it passing this matrix of cinematography and, like...
You know.
Yeah.
Because when you think of the highlights of the history of special effects in film, you think of Bullet Time in The Matrix.
You're right.
And then you think of Man-Thing.
You think of the red, weird vision effect with the jumbling thing going on? Yeah, that's what you think of.
And the hand going through the guy really badly in Man-Thing.
You think of like the slow motion for no apparent reason when the guy gets killed. Oh, that's what you think of.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to pause real quick.
Screw that.
Why did I say that out loud?
Uh-oh.
Hi, folks. Okay, one last review here, folks. This is a 1 out of 10.
Ooh.
From user Val hyphen has a hyphen.
Oh, hyphen.
Oh, so that's bad. See, yeah. that's why I got the one review. I told you.
Val hyphen 120. The headline is "Gaw awful," and then some G A W apostrophe
God god.
God awful. Yeah, there's no D in there. It's gaw awful.
Oh, okay.
And then some with a bunch of dot, dot, dot.
They didn't want to put down the D. So okay.
Anyways. Nope. Nobody wants to put down the D. Anyways.
Wow.
What the hell am I saying? This movie should have just been burned out in the swamp it was filmed in. Marvel and Lionsgate films, not Lionsgate, I'm just saying how they say it, need to brace themselves for the truckload of letters the Native American community is going to write to complain about this sewage sludge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty offensive to Native Americans.
To be fair, he was part Indian, so you know only part of them have to be offended. So.
And now, was this Native American Indian or like you know Indian?
I think more like ow.
It don't matter. Okay, part Indian. That's, you know,
I mean, this is more like Graham Greene or Cal Penn. Which are we going for here? I'm just trying to figure this out.
I would say Chief Running Water.
Oh, okay. So,
and I'm probably not helping right there being offensive by talking about how offensive the movie was. Okay, that didn't help. So anyways,
says, I had a few friends tried to watch it all the way through. T left after 30 minutes. Dan left after an hour. Out of give, I think they meant five. Only one of us lasted the full 2 hours of trash. It was actually an hour and a half, but they might have watched it on TV when it had commercials, probably.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
The camera work is beyond pitiful. The budget obviously did not include extras, site locations, or something that would have passed as a plot. Again, Hollywood takes a D character and tries to make a major motion picture.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't say.
Yeah. As a 25-year comic book collector, I can count on one hand how many of my friends even knew who Man-Thing even is. This movie trashed the entire premise of the Man-Thing story. For the record, I am surprised that they even released this crap at all. Yep, 1 out of 10.
Well, I mean, you know, okay, to be in comparison to what the person was saying, I mean, there were parts of the movie we were watching, even we kind of said to ourselves, okay, is this going to happen yet? Like, okay, is that the man thing? It was kind of like, it just kept dragging on and on and on. And I think that's the part that made everybody say, okay, you know, I'm done. Like, we were like over an hour into it, and we still didn't even get to like the climactic part of the story.
Barely saw the man thing by then.
Right, exactly. So it's like, yeah, maybe they're onto something here, you know? And it kind of makes you wonder, like, kind of going back to what you said about the where's the money? So where'd that other $29 million go?
Exactly.
Like, did you have to pay it back?
I mean, was it? It was probably all filmed on celluloid, so maybe it was for the filming, for film, as opposed to digital. I don't know, because 2005 was kind of that transition period, still.
But it's just the fact of that money. It's like, dude, like, you know, if there were any investors involved, they probably aren't going to be too happy.
Right.
No.
Wow.
I mean, this was like a part of a handful of movies that Lionsgate had gotten the rights to. They got the rights to, like, Punisher and stuff like that at that time. I mean, because this is before the this was like when the deal went through. It was before the sale of Marvel to Disney. So you know, right. Yeah.
And now I am going to take this moment. I will say on a positive note about the movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know I've said some not so nice things, but a positive thing is that this was once again, as we all had just said, 2005. This is when it was in its infancy of us bringing MCU to the big screen, you know.
And you can't really compare this to, like, you know, Iron Man or Ant-Man or anything, you know.
I mean, now, if that movie came out now, yeah, it would be horrible, horrible. Like, they would have made it, like, a billion times better than now.
And maybe actually had a plot that made sense.
Better actors. Well, not better actors, I should say better locations, I should say. Yeah. Better, you know, filming locations. But
or all the backgrounds done in CGI and made it look exactly like. So, Matt, would you suggest anybody watching this movie, or if this was being shown in a theater, would this be the type of thing that you would walk out on?
Yeah, probably. I'd walk out on it. I mean, I don't really walk out on movies, but like, it's kind of like what the whole thing with Marc Maron said, like, you know, I don't want to die. It's not how I want to die watching this movie type of thing.
Yeah.
So
gotta make, you know,
like if I'm like 45 minutes in and I've already finished off my candy and then there's really nothing to occupy me, I'm going to bounce and I'm going to go to an actual literal trampoline and bounce afterwards. So to kind of get out the energy from having to sit down and watch it. And mm-hmm. I normally don't ever walk out on anything, but if I'm not getting anything out of it at all, like not, like you're saying before, like there's some movies that are bad that you like the fact that they're bad, and so you can make fun of it. This is just like one of those things, almost like a toothache. It's like a pain that just there's nothing good comes out of it. Like, you know, except for the guy that's in Hawaii 5-0, he's good. You know, came out of this. You know, he came out of it with like in 14 pieces, not one piece, but like,
yeah, he was able to put himself back together and find a career afterwards.
Right, he was. Yes. Yes, he was. So
his career didn't fall to pieces.
But no, I would not recommend this to anyone watch it. Because again, it's like, you know, we've seen a lot of bad movies that are funny to make fun of, mm-hmm. right? Like, for example, Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy. Terrible movie. But
he should have been in this movie.
It was funny to...
He'd have fit in this movie.
He would have. Oh,
God. With his bad Southern accent.
He would have been like, I'll get her done, and I'm going to take my Prilosec now.
Tell that guy with some Prilosec OTC.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to go find that man thing, and I'm going to get her done.
Exactly. Exactly. See, that would have...
Did I ever tell you my my imitation of the of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour?
No.
This is it. You might be a redneck if you get her done. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's the whole thing.
It's like, oh God, don't get me started on the blue collar bullshit, right wing bull crap. You know, this is what blue collar working class people like. No, actually, none of the working class people I like that shit at all. You are stereotyping these people because you yourselves are rich assholes, and then you think that the people beneath you think this is funny. Like, let's talk. Down to these proletariat people.
There's a running
while they're
theme
drinking
of our
their champagne and eating their sushis while they're sitting there. I'm a redneck. Fuck you.
Yeah, there's a running theme of our hatred for Dan Whitney on this show.
So
Dan Whitney, really aka like... Larry the Cable Guy. His name is Dan Whitney, by the way. It's not Larry the Cable Guy. It's Dan fucking Whitney.
I would really appreciate it if you guys could tell me how you really feel.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And
so we reviewed, I can't even talk straight when I get on this.
Yeah, we've reviewed a couple of his movies.
Two of his movies.
One of them we've released so far. We still got to release the other, but
okay.
The next one's going to be released probably later this year. But okay. Yeah, it's I tell you what, Dan Whitney is a comic and acting genius. He is the greatest thing to ever come to cinema or to stand-up comedy. He's right up there with Laurence Olivier. You know, another Larry.
Yeah.
And
right. I caught that.
Yeah. And he's right up there with Richard Pryor and George Carlin as far as comedy goes.
I'm just going to roll. I'm just a guest here, so I'm just like, okay.
And if you believe anything I just said, you might enjoy Dan fucking Whitney.
Wait, so is that like a porno? Dan fucking Whitney?
Yeah, it is.
Dan, sorry.
It's a really old one with Dan Rather fucking Whitney Houston.
Whoa.
Oh, what the fuck?
What? Whoa.
It's obscure.
Did that really happen?
I hope
no.
Okay.
I hope not.
I didn't know if it was a real thing that happened or not. If they were like at an affair or were they going on? I don't know.
I hope not. God, I hope not.
Well, Dan Rather was the first person named Dan I could think of. So I can...
Wow.
There's like a thousand of the Dans out there. We just picked Dan Rather. Yeah,
right. Lieutenant Dan. I mean,
right. You know.
But it's more enjoyable when you think about Dan Rather. And...
Is it more enjoyable?
No, it's not enjoyable at all.
No, not at all. It's neither one of them, actually. It's disturbing. I'm just saying. It's kind of disturbing. I think I need help. So, Jamal.
Yes.
Would you recommend anybody watch this movie, or if they were in a theater and it was showing, would you suggest that they just walk out rudely and a huff?
I would say this. Walking out of a movie theater, yes. Because... Here's the thing. If you had spent your money, now your gas or in some cases your Uber ride or whatever you had to do to get to the movie theater and spend the money to go see the movie and then get popcorn and snacks and see it and to be that much of a disaster, yeah, I would walk out. However, now I will say this. If you decide to watch this movie at home and you just want to just watch something just for the hell of it, you're not trying to, like, overthink. You're not trying to get into the deep storyline just to watch it. Then, by all means, do it. Okay? Folks that are, like, fans of, like, Mystery Science Theater 3000 would love something like this to do at home.
Which sadly got canceled recently.
Yes, I did see that.
I'm sad.
I know, right? It's like, well, they might have it on DVD. You can, like, buy it on season on DVD.
But they still have it on there. It just got canceled. They're not going to make more. It make Mikey sad.
but that would be my suggestion. Would be like, look, you stay at home, watch it. Like, you just want some friends over, just to laugh at something ridiculous. Then, yeah, go for that reason. It's one of those that are horrible in movie theaters, but great on DVD or even on TV. Okay, so I mean, if Sharknado can do it, then you can do that.
Another sci-fi classic.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
So, my feeling on it is, if I was in a movie theater and this was showing, I would stick it out.
Okay.
And then right after it was over, I would jet. And by that, I mean I'd get on a jet plane, go as far away from the fucking theater as I could, and try to forget that I saw this piece of shit.
So, you're a little on the fence about what you would do.
No. I think I'd get on that jet plane, go hang out with my friend Dan Whitney.
Dan fucking Whitney?
Dan fucking Whitney. Yes, okay. Yes, that Dan Whitney.
Okay.
We'd go get some stuff done. And maybe make a better movie than this together. See, I think that's actually one of the things I want to do in my life. One of the challenges. If you happen to be listening to this, Larry the Cable Guy, aka Dan Whitney. One day, we're going to make a movie together, you and I. Say that now. And it's going to be the greatest romantic comedy ever made.
What's it going to be called?
It's going to be called Dan fucking Whitney. Larry's going to play a guy named Dan. and then I'm going to cast Whitney Cummings.
Oh, wow. Is that...
She's a stand-up comic.
I know. Is that a double meaning right there?
I don't know. I'm just going to say...
Well, it is Dan fucking Whitney.
So. That's what I was saying. Was
that... I just said that's the only other Whitney I could think of besides Whitney Houston, who's sadly not with us anymore.
Right,
so.
Right.
I'm just saying.
See, she would make the movie tolerable.
Yes.
Because, you know.
She's actually funny.
Yeah, for her presence in there. She might be able to carry his weight.
No pun intended.
Metaphorically speaking, yes.
that's a no pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have his
bag of Prilosec.
I have no room to talk because I'm a big guy myself. But I at least don't go, I'm going to grab my Prilosec and eat my 16 ears of corn and 5,000 baby back ribs and double cheeseburger and a catfish sandwich with 5,000 pounds of hot sauce on it because I eat like a fucking idiot.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, me too. I'm sorry, guys. I get really angry when I talk about this guy. I know I usually try to keep low-key. I try to be the calm one of the group.
When did that start?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm a guest, and I know that. Like, seriously, I'm a guest.
I try to project that image, you know, of being the collected one, you know. But just, you know.
when I think calm, cool, and collected... Yeah.
I think Matthew Haas.
Yeah.
And I think, and when I think smart and intelligent humor, I think Dan fucking Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, the second part was definitely sarcastic right there.
Right. The thing is, though, this is all projection because, like, this is all just projecting of an image because I meditate every fucking day, Mike, okay?
Every fucking day.
You fucking know that, man.
I pray every day. I mean, I don't really pray,
you
but you
meditate
know,
every fucking day. You listen to that.
I meditate every fucking day. I pray every fucking day. I practice mindfulness every fucking day, okay?
You fucking are here right now.
Yeah,
that's how fucking mindful you are. Yes, you're right here.
I'm right fucking here, mindful as shit. Okay.
We're all fucking here, man.
Right.
We're all right the fuck here.
Here.
You hear that, bitch?
I'm just trying to see what other person was.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. So anyways, do we want to, you know, close up the shop? Isn't a shop.
Wait, you're doing the superstore.
No, I'm just trying to say, no, I was going to say close up shop.
Were you going to, like, walk up there and take the sign that goes, like, from it says open, turn around, say closed?
Right. Yes.
Is that what you're
going to,
like,
no,
do?
I'm going to, I'm saying, you know, end the podcast.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
We'll end it with some, do you got any words of wisdom or anything you want to say, Jamal, before you leave us today?
I would say for those of you who are filmmakers out there, choose wisely and don't blow $30 million. Just don't do that. That's not cool. It just isn't.
And,
like,
and if you're producers out there who have $30 million, you might want to give it to Jamal, Matt, and I mean, we could probably make something better than this.
I could build a music studio, record every day.
We could make like 5 or 6 movies with the cost of this movie.
Wow. Yeah.
That would be good. You can get a couple, you know. I could make my Dan fucking Whitney movie and make it good. Why don't I have $30 million?
It just happens sometimes.
Why?
Maybe we need to make a Man Thing too.
With Dan Whitney in it.
Sure.
Can we'll
he
have
be
Dan
in the
Whitney.
Movie?
He could be the Man Thing.
Yes. And he does cracks little jokes as
he's about to kill someone. He's like, you know what I said, get her done. I just got her done.
Bunch of stuff.
Don't hurt my swamp. I gotta get her done.
Bunch of stuff oozing out of his mouth. Oh, I forgot to take my prowl sick. So stupid.
Right. I'm gonna ask you guys why you got a problem with Dan Whitney. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna ask y'all at the end of this because I just gotta know.
Why do we have a problem with Dan Whitney?
We just told you, didn't we? Kind of.
Have you seen Tooth Fairy 2?
I've heard of it.
Watch Tooth Fairy 2 and then come back
and tell us how you feel.
Tell us how you feel about that movie, and we can do like a revisit of Tooth Fairy 2 with you as a guest, and we can review that movie together.
All right, I will do that.
And if you want to, the other movie we watched with him, Jingle All the Way 2.
I didn't know
that's the one that was. Tooth Fairy 2 is the one that was the worst. Sorry, I was thinking. I kept saying Jingle All the Way 2. That one wasn't as bad as Tooth Fairy 2.
That one just had a creepy guy trying to molest kids. But,
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I want to watch that. Now.
Well, he wasn't really. It was more.
It's kind of implied.
He said that he was a purveyor of childhood fantasies, if I remember that correctly. He worked at a toy store.
And the way he said
but
it.
But he said it in
creepy.
A weird way. In a. Okay, Jamal.
No, I get it.
What I'm saying is we're not doing it justice. We're making you not see. Okay, so he said it in a warehouse at night, broke in. That's kind of weird to be saying it at a warehouse at night with a flashlight,
it's
and you
odd.
Broke in, and you say I'm a purveyor of childhood fantasies.
And you're saying it to Dan Whitney.
And you're saying it to Dan fucking Whitney because they were having sex during that scene. No, I don't know. And then, God, this is really going good out of hand.
Why don't we just stop now?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just watch it.
I just want to thank Jamal for stopping by today.
Yes, thank you for enduring this.
And enjoying that and not walking out.
Yeah, I kind of couldn't, you know. We were kind of recording, so.
You could have.
Yeah, but it'd be like, where's Jamal? Like,
but you know what? When people walk out of things, you know what that is?
Mm.
It's rude. But for now, guys, I'm going to say bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.